From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start with a live look inside Everbank Field, where the Bud Light Draft Party presented by PRI Productions will get underway tomorrow night at FanDuelville. It'll be a packed house. Should be fun. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you, and what a fun day it is around Everbank Field, almost like Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is the big day, of course. The NFL Draft gets underway tomorrow evening on NFL Network and ESPN, and we'll have all the coverage throughout leading up to the draft tomorrow and then after the pick. That's all still to come, but this is like Christmas Eve. The day before gets bigger and bigger each and every year. Plenty to get to today. We'll get to Philadelphia. Brian Sexton will have a report from the Ben Franklin Parkway and all the day before draft events. That's coming up shortly. We'll hear from some prospects and analysts in town in Philadelphia for the draft. We start off today, though, with senior writer John Osher. It's finally here, almost.
Well, it's Christmas Eve, certainly, in the sense that I guess I'm getting a gift. Is that what?
Maybe all Jags Nation's getting a gift,
but
right?
But it's Christmas Eve in this sense. I have no idea what they're getting. And having the first clue. And there's years where you think you sort of know and where you think you may have a feel for it. As it turns out, I'm usually wrong on that feel.
Yeah.
But at least I've had a feel. This year, you know, there's six, seven different guys. Maybe Brian Sexton in Philadelphia has a better idea than I do because I've got no clue.
Yeah, let's get to Philadelphia. The Ben Franklin Parkway just steps away from the Philadelphia Museum of Art, where the first round of the NFL draft will start tomorrow night right after 8 o'clock Eastern time. Looks like a nice time up there, Brian, so far.
You know, hey, JP. Hi, John. It's been raining since we arrived last night, but this is the first opportunity to really get out and kind of walk around. And Philly really has some, you know, big shoes to fill because Chicago did a magnificent job the last 2 years in the city with broad shoulders, and now we're in the city of brotherly love. I've heard some horns honking, a little frustration. The Ben Franklin Parkway, which is directly in front of me, packed. They're calling it the biggest NFL experience they have ever set up. And in doing so, they've closed off one of the major thoroughfares in Philly. So it hasn't always felt that lovely around here since we got here. I tell you what, though, you guys were talking about Christmas Eve and how this day has become a thing the day before the draft. We felt some love when we went up Broad Street, which is the main thoroughfare that goes north and south here, to the Shriners Hospital for Children. This is really where you get to see the heart of some of these players. They were told by the administrator of the hospital, don't be scared to play with these kids. And you can see right now, they weren't. They got hands in. They got down on the ground. They rolled around. The administrator said, we got doctors here that can take care of the kids if they get hurt. We want these kids to have a great time. And both the little kids, the kids who were in the hospital, and the kids who will be on the stage, enjoyed every second of it. In fact, they're enjoying every second of the suspense that leads up to tomorrow, draft day 2017.
It comes with the territory, regardless of the position or who you are. You know, there are going to be people that talk bad about you, that takes your strengths and talk good about it, and take your weaknesses and talk bad about it. It's part of the process. It's part of the life. It's part of playing football. And that's going to be the next, you know, 5 to 10, 15 years of any NFL player. You know, people are going to talk about the strengths and weaknesses. So the process has been fun for me. I've been enjoying it. They've been able to travel, meet people, talk about football, play football, and it's just been I've enjoyed it.
You know, I think my film speaks for itself. You know, I mean, this is a great running back class for a lot of running backs who's coming out with me. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough decision for any GM, any owner, to pick one of us. I mean, I work hard, you know, play with guys like Jamal Adams, who made me better as a player. And, I mean, overall, that's just who I am. You know, anywhere I go, I'm going to work hard. You know, I'm going to try to perfect my craft, be the best player that I can be.
You can always say, you know, certain people that you have an idea, but everybody has an opinion. Everybody, you know, no matter what, no matter how good you are, no matter what you do, everybody has an opinion about you. So, you know, you got to sit back and kind of just wait.
I laugh, you know, just trying to keep light of the situation. But, I mean, it's a stressful situation by nature. I mean, you don't know where you're going to live at. You have no control at this point of what's going to happen, but you just take it for what it's worth and enjoy it.
Whoever you visited, any team, what was the thing you wanted them to take away when you left? What did you want them to say amongst themselves that Jonathan Allen is
he's a bad MF. He's going to come in and just work his butt off, blue-collar mentality, and contribute to the team immediately.
All right, guys, so that's just a taste of what's going on here in Philly. The NFL Network luncheon is just letting out, and I caught up with the Jacksonville favorite. Folks, you'll see that very, very shortly. I think we're going to see a butterfly garden that some NFL players are putting together. That'll be a first. And many other things between now and the draft. We are running all the way up to it, which means our coverage will be as comprehensive, as complete as you could find anywhere, including Inside the Jaguars. It's coming up just a little bit later this afternoon. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Facebook Live. And then, man, we have live coverage in our television special with our new partners at Action News Jax at 7 o'clock. I will have the first pick as quickly as we can tomorrow night. So stay with us right here on Jaguars.com. JP and John, back to you in Jacksonville.
Sounds good, Brian. Thank you very much. Back in Jacksonville now. A great report there from Philadelphia. Jonathan Allen sounds pretty excited, I think, right?
He's ready for primetime.
You think so?
He's ready to go. All I can think of, hey, Alabama guy, you must like that.
Well,
all about you.
Very confident. Right. I don't know about that. But it's interesting to hear the guys the day before, you know, the draft is the beginning of the rest of their life, really.
Well,
and this is the day before that really happens.
And you can't overemphasize, I think people got a glimpse when they saw Brian's report of how different, of how much more the entire NFL has become so hyped. And there are so many more events. There's the Combine, the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl has always been around, obviously. But there are so many more events that, especially with the pre-draft process, thrusts these guys into our consciousness. And this is one more that, frankly, didn't exist 5 or 6 years ago. So I was watching Fournette talk there and Deshaun Watson, and I don't know these guys personally, but it seemed like there was a bit of a glaze in their eyes of, at some point, this has to get over with. And
right.
I know they're enjoying the experience. It's an experience I'll never forget. But what a whirlwind these guys are going through. They're trying to answer questions that they fundamentally cannot answer. And yet they're trying to sound intelligent doing it because nobody knows. And it's such a buzz that it almost feels like what we saw is separate from the event that really matters, but it's the event. And that's what the NFL is now. It's hype, it's huge, yep. And these kids are going through it. And they're just kids.
One of the biggest names of this process is Leonard Fournette. You just heard from him in Philadelphia. Today was NFL Network Analyst Day as well. They had some time at the podium, including Mike Mayock, who thinks Leonard Fournette could be a throwback kind of pick.
He's Adrian Peterson, for lack of a better term, and you better get him the football. It's 1970s football. It's line up 7 yards deep and hand him the football so your quarterback's got 3rd and 2. That's who he is, and you got to feed him. He gets better as the game goes on. So 20 to 25 downhill touches. The rest of these guys are more today's NFL, and I'm not discounting that. I think it's different, not better or worse.
You know, John, as happens about this time every draft, you hear rumors and moving up draft boards. Now you've seen projections with Fournette at number 2 overall, then out of the top 10. Who knows until tomorrow night?
Yeah, and Mike Mayock at a table is now a thing on pre-draft
right.
day.
No
but
doubt.
But and that's what causes, I think, a lot of these projections, rumors, speculations. It's the hype that causes it to go up and down because – Mike Mayock says that today, and now all of a sudden, if he says Fournette's 2, then that's going to be the theme until they go on the air tomorrow. That's what we're going to be talking about. You know, I think Leonard Fournette probably goes in the top 5. I guess we save it to the end of the show, but I think if I had to pick right now, I'd say he's the Jaguars pick if he's there. It just feels like that's what it's all leaning toward. But when you talk about the hype, when you talk about is he up, is he down, that's all part of the pre-draft stuff, and that's what makes this one so fascinating to me. You do see Fournette at 2, and then you see him at 9.
Yeah.
You see Solomon Thomas at 2, and then you see him at 6 or 7. You see quarterbacks who some people think aren't even first-round worthy in terms of grade up in the top 5. As I said before, it's as hard a draft to even try to piece the puzzle pieces together on Christmas Eve, if you will, mm-hmm. as I've ever seen. So beyond Myles Garrett at 1, who knows?
The entire Leonard Fournette press conference is available right now on Jaguars.com, by the way. And, you know, we mentioned a few of these guys. There are some other names that we haven't had a lot of talk about. And, you know, safety is a position that has been mocked to the Jaguars occasionally, including this guy right here, senior writer John Osier. Your latest mock, we saw it earlier a moment ago, that you had Malik Hooker from Ohio State in your latest mock, which was earlier this week.
Well, and that was 2 days ago. So a lot of changes. And I wrote in that, you know, I think the consensus, the feel that everybody's starting to get is Fournette. And that's probably right. In that mock, I had Fournette to the 49ers, so you needed somebody at four. And I didn't want to just go Jonathan Allen or Solomon Thomas. That's sort of the thing everybody sort of thinks. So you start looking at it and saying, okay, where in this secondary could they really improve with the draft pick? Deshaun Gibson, I thought, played okay last year. But if you're looking for a guy of immediate impact who can come in and elevate a top 10, 12 type player, Malik Hooker is an Ed Reed type free safety. Package him with Jalen Ramsey. All of a sudden you've got two top five level elite Pro Bowl, all pro talents.
That you that's drafted. Be
Well, and that's the key. And who could be here 6, 7, 8 years and form a core. Do I think that's going to happen? No, but I think that has to be a conversation inside the draft room.
And whether it's him or Adams, something of that caliber could be in the talks. Now, the other question, well, you heard from one of them there, Watson, is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Where do quarterbacks go? Do they go that high in this draft? At what point do, if they do at all, do the Jaguars take a quarterback?
Well, and that's the overarching theme of the draft right now, is quarterbacks always get pushed up. If you take one in the top five, clearly the consensus of draft analysts is going to be that he was pushed up, because most people don't have either Mitch Trubisky, Mahomes, or Deshaun Watson in their top five. I think if the Jaguars take a quarterback, my gut is it's Trubisky, because all you've heard the last few days is Deshaun Watson. Remember 2 years ago, all you heard before the draft was Johnny Manziel of the Jaguars, and they went Blake Bortles. If it's out there, I don't think that's really what's going to happen here. If it's the quarterback position, a late buzz. So I don't think it's either. My gut is something just tells me if it's a quarterback, a Trubisky makes sense because of the smoke and mirrors theory, as I would call it. But if they take a quarterback, it's obviously the major story around this team for a three-year period. It's a direction changer. My gut is they don't, but I'd put it at about 20% right now.
That's not zero.
Right. Well, and there's a series of things that would shock you. I mean, if they go offensive tackle in this draft because of the nature of the position, offensive tackle at number four would be a, you know, you'd be dropping your phone and going, whoa, you know, what's going on? The positions that wouldn't be a drop your phone moment shock would be quarterback, defensive end, safety. I think those are the ones, and running back with Fournette. Those are the four that you would say, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get what they're doing there. And then, of course, if they trade back, all bets are off, because then other positions that everybody has ranked low, offensive tackle, even offensive guard, tight end, if you trade back, then all those positions come into play in the first round as well.
A reminder about tomorrow night here at Everbank Field, the Bud Light Draft Show presented by PRI Productions. Free tickets available at Jaguars.com. Get them. It's going to be fun, man. On FanDuelville tomorrow night, it's going to be a packed house. We'll have interviews with current and former Jaguars players.
You know you've got to be in here, right? You can't be up in FanDuel.
Well, I'll be on the field doing some interviews. I might have to, between okay, interviews, right, I might go up there and see what's up.
We'll get Max Hoffman to make sure you're here.
Yeah, he might need to escort me around or something. He might want to go up there, too.
He might.
No, Max. Hey, today in Philadelphia, just heard from Brian Sexton earlier. He also caught up with Maurice Jones-Drew, former Jaguars running back, now an NFL Network analyst.
Thanks, guys. I've caught up with Maurice Jones-Drew. Used to say Jaguars running back. Now it's voice of the Rams. How'd the radio gig treat you last year?
It went well. It was challenging at first. The timing of it. It's every 20 seconds you have to be able to kind of describe the play. And on radio, you can't just say, well, look at that. You have to kind of break it all the way down. And so it took a little bit of time. About week five, kind of got in the flow of things and started having fun with it and started enjoying it. And it was great, and they want me back. So it looks like I'll be back again for a second year.
Everybody in Jacksonville knew you'd be good at it because you have an opinion. Surprise. So what's your opinion of where the Jaguars should go with their first pick in this draft?
You know, it's I see a lot of people saying Fournette. You know, I really thought they would go defense safety with one, either Lattimore or Adams. Those two guys, definitely ball hawks, great personalities, great people. But after you pay both safeties, obviously Gibson and then now Church, it's kind of, it scares me a little bit doing that. The reason I'm not so high on Fournette at four is you have to have help around him, and not help in the receiving game or by the quarterback, but your offensive line. The offensive line's kind of struggled the last couple of years, and so I think it might be a waste of a pick when you can go with O.J. Howard as a person I think would be best fit, because you have a guy who can help the run game. And then this running back, first of all, this running back draft is so deep. You can get a guy in the second, third round who can, fourth or fifth round, who can come in and play as well. But you get a big athlete to help your quarterback, help your passing game, as well as help your running game on the edge with Mercedes. And a lot of guys are going to two tight end sets. So I think O.J. Howard being probably the biggest freakish athlete that I've seen in a while come out of that position, I think would be a great pick.
Who besides Fournette would you look at? You mentioned that it's a deep draft. Are you a fan of Joe Mixon, kid from Tennessee? Who else is out there?
I'm a big fan of Joe Mixon. I understand he made a mistake, and a lot of people are going to hold that to him. But I think once you get him in the locker room, once you get him on the field, you understand that, you know, he was 18 years old when that happened. A lot of people at 18 make mistakes. Obviously, when you're in that limelight, the spotlight's on you. It's a little bit more magnified. But, I mean, Aaron Jones out of UTEP is a big guy that I like, guy who's versatile, can run in and out in between the tackles. P. Ron from Oklahoma. There's a ton of guys. Jamal Williams from BYU. Brian Hill from Wyoming. I could keep going. The kid out of Boise State, Jeremy McNichols, is another good runner. There's a lot of guys out there that you can look at who can help that backfield out.
So when I look at Blake Bortles, and I think when most people look at Bortles, they see a guy who needs help from the running game. But you're saying the tight end could make as much of a difference for Bortles with play action as anything.
Well, I think, again, when you have a guy that can take a flat route to the house, when you have a guy that has the ability to run with the ball in his hand the way he does at tight end, we haven't seen that in Jacksonville. It's similar to Gronkowski style or Travis Kelce, who helps Alex Smith and helps Tom Brady out. So that definitely could work. Obviously, you have Mercedes there. You have a lot of other young tight ends there. But you need a guy who you can stretch the middle of the field, who can be that guy to go over the middle and catch the ball. Obviously, you have Mercedes there who can do that as well. But I think he just has a little bit more juice right now.
Do you think the fourth pick has to be offense?
No, it doesn't. I would prefer defense, to be honest with you. It's funny you say that. I say that, but I would prefer Jamal Adams or Lattimore, or again go like Denver and go corner and get three corners where you can play man to man on third down and lock guys up. That's something a lot of people have been trying to do as well throughout the league. But it has to be strategic. You just can't draft a guy just to draft a guy. You know, you want a guy who can come in and make plays right away and affect this team in a positive manner.
All right, two final things. First of all, where will people see you if they turn on NFL Network? Jags fans that want to catch up with you.
It just depends. It the schedule's so crazy, so much talent there that we kind of spread around a little bit. But I usually do. I did a fantasy show last year, which was pretty fun. Hopefully they bring that back. And then, you know, TA, I think I'm going to start working there as well. But still work in progress. Trying to keep my head above water, man. It's tough competition out there, you know. Yeah. Got to stay on your toes.
Always relevant. A strong opinion helps. So give us who the Jaguars take at four if Maurice Jones-Drew is the general manager.
Ooh, at four. I'm going to have to go to O.J. Howard. I think, again, I believe that he can change that offense right away. And you can add other pieces later in the draft to help with the running game. You can draft offensive linemen as well. It's a deeper draft for offensive linemen down in the third, fourth round. You get some better guys, small school guys. But I need a playmaker that can help, that can affect both sides of the ball. We have four wide receivers out there that can go. I just think that we need a guy that can seal the edge as well with Mercedes and go in that two tight end set. And you can cave it down and have an easier read for the running backs and let those guys show why they were picked and paid.
Well, I know you feel like you're at home in California, but don't forget there's people on the East Coast that love you too.
I know. Well, I'll be back in Orlando in a couple of weeks, so I hope I get to see some people out there. And I can't believe I missed Scobie's retirement. I was so hurt. So, Josh, if you're watching, you know, congratulations, and do still wear your number 10 jersey for that day, you're good.
You'll be here Friday. He'll be here Friday. He's doing the Jags' third pick.
All right, well, good. Yeah, that'd be good. I'll see him then.
All right. That's Maurice Jones-Drew, guys. We'll throw it back to you in Jacksonville.
Brian, thanks a lot. Always interesting to hear from Mojo there the day before the draft.
Did you ever think Mojo would not take Fournette in the first round?
I know, right? What has happened? Something's going on.
What was he wearing there? I think he was calling in the defensive signals with that red shirt. You know, the coach on the sideline? Wearing a red shirt, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean.
Picked Howard. Interesting.
Yeah, and that makes sense if you want to help Blake Bortles. But the thing you wonder with Howard is tight end at number four, there is a certain value where people think Is he going to get enough catches? Is he going to have the ball in his hands enough to merit the pick at number four? And if they go away from that, and if you go away from that sort of conventional thinking, then Howard makes sense. I just don't know if you pull the trigger on that at number four.
The really kind of idea around this show today, we've had talk about a bunch of different prospects. We heard from a handful in Philadelphia with Brian. We've talked about a few more here, Hooker and Adams and the quarterbacks today. That's really the theme of your view from the Ozone this afternoon, is that all these names are out there, and we still don't really have an idea.
We just don't know. And when I say that, Jaguars like that, obviously, and they're good at it. Think about a couple years ago, Blake Bortles was nowhere on anybody's radar. Dante Fowler was there. They knew they were going to pick Fowler, but it was Leonard Williams' buzz. And debate the merit of those picks all you want, yep. But the buzz that you start hearing in these 3 or 4 days before the draft that gets everybody sort of leaning one way on Twitter, I'll lean away from the microphone there, that usually winds up not being the way. So if I've got a pick, I'm saying Fournette or Trubisky. I go Fournette because that's just sort of the way that it feels. It feels like running back. It feels like he's a fit who can make a quick impact. But that's probably wrong, JP.
And we'll find out
about that
tomorrow
evening. I would have to close the show. I'm probably wrong.
I think we might all be wrong at some point. So we'll find out for sure around 8:45 or so tomorrow. And look out for the coverage throughout the weekend here on Jaguars.com, especially tomorrow. Facebook Live is early. And then the draft party coverage on Jaguars.com and the Jags app. Television, after that, 7 to 8. Radio the whole time on 1010XL. So plenty of coverage throughout the weekend after every pick. Our thanks to Brian Sexton and the cinema crew in Philadelphia. For John Osier, our entire crew in Jacksonville, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.